Morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. One of the things we wanted to do today, and by the way, if you can't hear me, please give me signs that I need to be louder. One of the things we wanted to do today was address some of the barriers that we all face in the workplace. Some of the sentences that you hear and you acknowledge and you say, okay, that's fine, I'll let that go. And we're going to be doing three of them, me being the first. And I'm just going to read you what the barrier is that I hear all the time, and I know that so many of you will recognize. So imagine hearing this in your office many times. I would like to hire more women, but there's not enough of them with the skills. And even if they have some of the skills, they often don't have the right ones, and I need to hire the best person for the job. Now, I just want that to sit with you, because if there's anything you remember from what I say today, please remember the best person for the job and actually what we mean by that. Do we mean the right person, or do we mean the best person? What does the best person actually stand for? And also, what does it mask? And I think so many times we say, oh, of course, the best person, let's go with that. But what do we really mean? And when I'm talking today, I just want to give you a bit of credibility on this. Harrington Star, we're a recruitment agency. We've been around since 2010. To give you an idea, last year, we looked after 8,000 interviews across the financial services space, from teeny tiny fintechs to larger financial institutions, across over 300 companies. This isn't just my gut feel. This is having seen so much and having looked at so many reasons for why certain people didn't get the job, and often me feeling baffled why someone hadn't got the job. And this is, just to be specific, this is within technology and sales recruitment into all of financial services. I know lots of you will be sitting here thinking, well, maybe I'm not in a position of hiring. So this is the bit where I want to just see who this should involve and who this conversation should be with. Because when we say the best person for the job, and yes, I'm a recruiter, and of course you're going to think, okay, that's someone getting a new job. What about the other jobs in the workplace? We can think about the person that runs the meeting, the person that's given the responsibility for a particular project, the person that's put forward for a new opportunity, the person that probably came up with the idea in the first place to run it. These are the types of jobs I'm talking about. So just by a raise of paddles, if you will, who here has conducted interviews in the past? Amazing. Who here has vouched for somebody? Oh, keep them up, please, because I'm hoping that we all get our hands up at the end of this. Who here has vouched for somebody within their business? Who here has put forward a recommendation? Who here has given their opinion on someone else in the workplace? Okay, I think we have everybody hands up at this point. My point is, thank you all so much for the paddles. I'll let your arms get a rest. My point is there's so many people who, when they think about inclusion, they don't think it's their responsibility. And when they think about referring, recommending, putting people forward, they think, oh, it's just about the hiring. It's not about everything else in between. It's not about the promotion, the progression, the ability to be able to be in charge of something, the ability to be recognized and more visible within the office and the workplace. And ultimately, we've all put our hands up to that. We're all responsible for that. So it's not one person here and so many people out there in the workplace who say, oh, it's not my bag. Diversity, yeah, I get it. It's important. I'll let them sort it out. It's about all of us. There is no them. There is no one demographic that should be looking after this. My amazing colleague, Lydia Sear, made me some brilliant slides, which you will all see at a later date. But I'm going to take you through some of them. So when we think about who is the best person for the job, I want you to think, who is your best person for the job? Is it someone who can exhibit the exact skills that you are looking for? They've done the job before. They can do this job with their eyes closed. And you know that phrase, oh, they're going to hit the ground running. How much comfort does that give us? So a stat for you, 63% of employees perceive a lack of career advancement as a reason to resign. That was a report and study. And let's be honest, isn't that really 99%, 100%? If we are not progressing people, and if we're not progressing people into new opportunities and new jobs, what are we doing when we're bringing them in to do stuff with their eyes closed or hit the ground running? And what does that look like? When you're thinking about this topic, who is the best person for the job tomorrow? So we're all in fintech, financial services, technology, or data. something connected, and actually anything else. What is the job going to be tomorrow? We know right in this sector, we are at the pinnacle of things moving quickly, things changing. We're supposedly supposed to be agile, right? But why do we hire for proven skills, experienced, rather than potential and transferable skills? We all love the sound of potential and transferable skills. We love the sound of it. But when it comes to the decision making, how many times have all of us recruiters that are here today heard, they were really good. Someone just picked them to the post. They've done the job before. Oh, well, I'm sure that's great for that person that's done the job before. And when the market improves and a load of roles start coming out, are they going to carry on doing the job with their eyes closed, or will they go and do something that can stretch them? So do we consider that when we're thinking who's the best person for the job tomorrow? And 56%, and this was a Gartner report last year, the 9 future of work trends in 2023, 56% of candidates report applying for jobs outside their areas of expertise with expectations for that to grow. When we also look through eFinancial last year, only 18% of people in the industry came from outside of the industry. So are we letting ourselves down? So, who is the best person for the job in the interview? The whole interview system hasn't changed for 50 years. And we think about our way of working. It's changing all the time, but we still assess people the way that we did. Thankfully, we are moving away from panels. And I think we now have normal conversation around, oh yeah, maybe a panel style interview isn't the right way of going. But we still have archaic assessments, assessments where you're asking a frog to ride a motorbike rather than see how fast they can swim. We see that so many times. And then when you look at exactly what's happening in the interview, how many people are interviewed to catch them out rather than to catch them in? Are we hoping for the best for people in an interview, or we're trying to prove what our expectation was in the first place, that they weren't the best person for the job? Corporate activist Belinda Palmer, OBE, I love this quote. The job interview process favours confidence over competence. And this is where I'm going to move into the confidence part of this conversation. So I want us all to assess our confidence, but very importantly to me, the confidence we have in others. Who convinces you they are the best person for the job? Many reports, and this one is from CNBC, extroverted people are more likely to quickly ascend the career ladder. So if we think of the demographic personalities that we have within the workplace, who is making most impact versus what they're actually doing? Who are we more convinced by? Who do we really recognize within the workplace for what they're doing, rather than what they say they're doing? Who's the self-promoter in your business? The one that you know they're going to have their head in that room a million times a day, telling whoever it may be the wonderful work that everyone else did, but they're saying I rather than we. Are they going to climb the corporate ladder faster? This is very much connected to who do you believe is the best person for the job? And what breaks my heart is, as a recruiter, we spend so much time helping people be the best that they can be in an interview, whether that interview is for a new job or promotion, progression, being put in front of an audience like this. We do so much preparation. And sometimes we see that actually the preparation that individual's done, where's it going to get them? If the people receiving it don't believe in them, and we are all part of that, and we're all culpable for that. So when you think that right now, and I know everyone will put their hand up to this, whenever we talk about confidence in the workplace, right, and the stat that I wanted to share is 80% of women say they regularly lack confidence when speaking up at work and about their careers in general. We've all heard this. Confidence, the lack of confidence that women have in the workplace or minorities have in the workplace or any demographic other than the majority. And I feel that this is a Houdini trick. Like we put all our efforts into, you go for it, girl, and let's give you more confidence. And you really need to put yourself forward. I don't want to put myself forward in a room that doesn't believe in me, in a room that's just tutting or eyes rolling or not really listening. I get imposter syndrome in that room. I don't have imposter syndrome in front of you all today. I see nodding heads. I see people who know. They've been in this situation. They've been overlooked. They've been undervalued. They recognize it in their workplaces. They may not be the culprits, but they've seen other people behave like this. So when we think about who convinces us and who do we believe in, how do we ensure that we are believing in people fairly and resetting this? So when we think about who do you expect to be the best person for the job? Most of you will know I have a 2 and a 3 year old, so I'm very clear with both of them that it's post people, and the bus drivers aren't only one gender, and it's police people or police officers. But when I say a firefighter, a police person, someone in the army, what comes into your mind straight away? When I say your next developer to join your business, who do you have in your mind right now? Or the next new CEO? We are all responsible for this, for our own bias. So there was something I wanted to show you. The large language models, ChatGPT, the rules, thankfully, that are starting to be considered. So let's just test all your bias, right? So I'm going to say a couple of sentences, see what you think, right? The doctor phoned the nurse because she was late. Who was late? The doctor phoned the nurse because he was late. Who was late? So just let that sit with you for a second. We all have our own bias. We all decided then that we attributed a gender to the doctor and to the nurse. And look, well done if you were non-binary there and if you really opened it up. But you know my point that I'm saying. We make far too many assumptions. My final point on this, and this is a bit, I'll tease you all with it. Is you in the past the best person for the job? And again, we're all victim to this. Do you praise somebody or think that somebody can definitely do the job if they remind you of you? And there's a weird comfort that all us human beings have in that, that doesn't help when we are trying to subscribe to the idea that diversity of thought is going to get us further and farther and stronger as an industry. And we still love consensus. We still go into meetings wanting everyone to agree, when really we should be wanting everyone to disagree and understand why, and be okay with that, and be okay with that debate. Next time you hear, she's really great, but we're going to go with the best person for the job, I want you to question what that really means and look through a different lens. Thank you all.